And we wanted to take some time today I felt we want to give you some more details of that. And then we wanted to take some time to have the elders come up and some of the pastors, and we wanted to pray over the new church, Faith in Motion Church, that you'll participate in and pray with us in this. And then even commissioning Pastor Ray and Angela, because we want to really take that time to do that now. It's so important, and it's at the same point very exciting, but it is a new frontier for all of us and what we're doing. So I felt I really wanted to give you some more details on this as we have. As I said earlier, there's many ways to plant a church, and we've sought a few different pastors that have done that to get some ideas and what was best for us. But the common denominator in planting any church that we found is you have to invest something into it. Right? Invest something into it. And it was a key of that. So the last 2 or 3 years, and you've been hearing more language of building kingdom from this point, not from me, just from me, but other pastors, that we are called and our purpose is to get busy and build kingdom, right? If you remember the End of Age series, it was whatever, whenever, but talking about the importance of God's returnal is his return, Jesus, our King, coming back. Some of that is scripturally, it's looking like it waits a little bit on what we're doing now when he comes back. Are we building kingdom? Are we building kingdom, bringing heaven on earth down to earth? Are we building kingdom that we're reaching people that don't know Jesus, that they know that there is an answer to their life, no matter what stage they are in their life, that Jesus is the answer? Building kingdom. We don't use our shovels and physical things, although we may need a shovel when we get out of here to clear our car off, but we don't. I hope not. We don't. These are things the Holy Spirit gives in us, the fruit of the Spirit's to build kingdom around us. All of you are in ministry, wherever you are every day, to represent the Lord Jesus Christ and reach the lost. And then not just reaching the lost, but then, like we heard earlier, discipleship, discipling people, right? We don't just come to church to have church, right? There's a process that Jesus was very specific, and when before he went up into the air, by the way, divine human, went up into the air, he said, teach what I've taught, make disciples, baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. So we're all called to be involved in some level of that. So a good level, and which is very biblical, is planting other churches when we can do that. We don't plant another church to make FCC a bigger brand. God has some DNA from FCC in it, but it is going to show the DNA that God wants in this church. We're not building another church to have another church. It's expensive. We're building another church to build kingdom. Build kingdom. And it's very critical to know that and have a mission of that, or it will be, and this is Pastor Ray and Mrs. Angela's mantra too. They're lockstep what we're talking about. That's why they're going to be leading this. But if we lose focus of that, it becomes a church that survives and doesn't thrive. So we need to be remindful of why we're doing what we're doing. But back to investments. So it takes some investments to do this. And we're not looking for you to say, oh, look at all, we're doing great. This is God's work. This isn't man's ideas. We're just following the Lord in everything we're doing here. But it takes some investments. It takes an investment of people. And we talked about this earlier. So it takes an investment of a staff member of FCC that's going to leave FCC to transition into something new here. And we knew that, it's been for a while, Pastor Ray, we've talked, and Miss Angel, we've talked many times coming, that it's like, I just feel, if you don't mind, just kind of, I'm not paraphrasing, I think it was the exact words, we feel there's something more going on. So, okay, let's pray with that. Let's walk that out. So we walk that out. Then we know, okay, we're building kingdom. So these are parallel things that God's putting in our hearts and our leadership and the exec team. What's going on? And like, well, then it makes sense. I think God's moving us, and let's work into this area. So that's where Faith in Motion Church is being birthed out of those sequences. But we have to invest resources. And don't worry, I'm not asking for money anymore. We have to invest resources. And the harder ones are actually people. Money's money, right? But so Pastor Ray and Miss Angela, we're investing them to go do this. And that's not easy, really, sometimes, to think, okay, something's changing. We don't like change, but change is the most consistent thing in life, right? So that's the resource that we are doing that, in doing that. The other resource is money, obviously. So just to be upfront with you, because you're giving into Faith Christian Center, and I'll mention Faith in Motion in a minute, but yeah, we've committed to support the church for 12 months fully, pretty much. I mean, we've got, there's ancillary things that come up, but lease payments, salary, all that we're going to be doing that. So, and you need to know that as you're giving, because that helps us do all of these things in that. The other investment of that too is you just have just getting things ready. I mean, it's been busy in the last few months. This isn't, you just walk in, unlock a building. I mean, there's been a lot of prayer. We've been walking through this, but it's so important to set the stage. So with Pastor Ray and Miss Angela, I am off my notes. I had notes for this, but I'm just off it. So I apologize, but it may be better. I don't know. Just follow the Holy Spirit here. So Pastor Ray is obviously transitioning. This is not what we're going to do right now. Is not a goodbye to the Zimberlands. Can I say it that way? It's not, because we're still so invested. We're working. We're walking with them in everything we're doing. Yes, the Church Faith and Motion will be independent of its own. That's what church planting does at some point. But this is not a goodbye. But we want to today pray over them, the church, and have a concerted effort with our leadership team and our church community to really commission this out and ordain it to do what it's doing. They've already had, I believe, three Friday services that have been going well, like a Bible study up there. The first Sunday is going to be on Easter Sunday, so we're excited to do it then. That's what's going to happen then. If you want to attend Faith in Motion Church versus visit Faith in Motion Church, there's two different things, right? If you want to attend it, we'd really encourage you, you be part of the lead serving team up there. We don't want you to go up there and just sit. We need help. This is pioneering. So if you want to go up there, we want you to serve. We need help in that area. So we're going to have a meeting on February 8th, right after service. I think that's in 2 weeks or something. February 1st? Okay, thank you. So even sooner. February 1st, right after Sunday service. If you have interest in serving up there, you know, come to this meeting. You coming to the meeting doesn't commit you to it. You're just getting it as a discovery meeting. But then we're also going to, you know, at the end of the day, we want to bless who's ever signed up to make sense in doing that. Amen? Amen. So this is new venture for all of us. We're excited. It's what the Lord, we believe, is leading into this. And I think there's some exciting things to come, hearing from Pastor Ray and Miss Angela down the road as well. But it's neat. I mean, God always expands things. He doesn't shrink things. And he's not a God of, I'm going to make up a word, static, just being static. He's growing things, whether it's here, there, everywhere. The audience at Faith in Motion Church to build kingdom is Metro South. So if you've got friends or family in that area, Metro South, Brockton, all those borough-y areas right around there, you know, that's our audience. That's what we're hoping to do and build this. So we appreciate that. I'm going to ask the elders and their wives and the team to come up, elder team. I know you guys are here. You want to come on up, Debbie and Gordon? Can you give a hand clap to people coming up? Because these are invaluable people that we rely on. Jennifer, come on up. Pastor Paul. Do we have the Gilliams? You guys can just stand up here. We're going to do this up here. I'd rather do this up here. Just line up. I got to do a head count. Hang on. All right, we've got everybody here. So what you're seeing, other than my wife, Miss Jen, is the elder team. You can stay right there. That's fine. They are immense support to me and the pastoral team. So this is them. All right, and we appreciated them. Miss Pastor Ray, Miss Angel, why don't you come on up? We're going to pray. Please give them a welcome. Yes. Can you, you guys, just stand right here. This sounds, but I think it's specific.
We need Miss Edith, too.
Oh, Miss Edith isn't here? Yeah, no, I said elders and wives, yeah. Come on up, Miss Edith, yeah. Oh, you did? All right, just pull. Miss Edith. Can you kind of come around here? I want to form a little bit of a circle there, and you may think I'm trying to split hairs here, but I believe it's what we want to do here. And then, thank you for coming up, Miss Edith. Yeah. Why don't you guys just kind of, and then you guys stand up. Can you guys stand up? Because this is, yeah. How you guys doing? Good. All right, there's a few things I wanted to pray for that just before this time, it just was laid on my heart, and I don't remember. I've lost my notes. I'm not going to do it here, but there were a few things. It's okay. We want to pray for Faith in Motion Church first, right? That it is, in Matthew, I think, it talks about a city on a hilltop, shining, right? So we want faith in motion. If God is, he's pushing this, just what I saw, he's pushing it almost up a hill for you guys to lead this, that it will be shining over the whole Metro South area, a city on a hill. So, yes, yes. The other thing that was stirring in my heart, we've heard this before, but I'm hijacked the last part of this, but I think it's really applicable, and we may take it for FCC, but you've always heard that the church is a saint, sinners, it's a hospital for sinners and a hotel for saints. Blech. No. Faith in Motion is a hospital for sinners and a greenhouse for saints to grow in. So I just felt that it's a greenhouse to be growing in discipleship and what, Lord. The other thing is, and at this point it's rented property, but it's been anointed because you guys have been there already. But this rented property, the concrete flooring has been poured in divine love that you guys are stepping onto every time, that hearts will break and come to know Jesus even greater and greater than they walked into. The last thing, if I remember everything, the last thing was that you guys find amazing favor with the town of Brockton. Not just town officials and government officials, but business owners, entrepreneurs, people that can really come alongside and help breathe this out with you and help you and see what you guys see in that area. So it's amazing. So we're going to pray for that first, and then we'll jump into the other part. So we can just stretch out our hands and everybody in agreement. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you're giving us this opportunity to be ambassadors and build kingdom for you. Lord, we believe Faith in Motion Church has been ordained by you, and you continue to breathe the ideas that need to be done as we pioneer this, to make this an unexpected new church. The unexpected new church, because we're going to see the Holy Spirit grow it like no other place before in that area. That it'll break statistics, it'll break whatever boundaries that need to be broken, because you are at work, working through these vessels, Lord, to build your kingdom. Where favor needs to be, there's favor. Where a greenhouse needs to be, people are growing to know more of you. When sinners are not knowing how to even walk or never even walked into a door to hear from you, Lord, they can't do anything but worship you and surrender their lives to you. Lord, be the vessels, be the place, be the location, be a city on the hill shining bright to this area for your glory alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just some, now don't keep clapping. I want to, while we're in the spirit of momentum here, let's pray for Pastor Ray and Miss Angela as well in this too. In this, just a few things that came up that I'm thinking. One is that you are getting divine grace specifically for discernment. Discernment of what to say yes to and discernment what not to. Discernment in those areas. The other thing is your vertical relationship, because we're all growing no matter what titles we have, continues to grow beyond you've ever experienced in your life. And then that flourish puts a horizontal relationship between you and your wife, Miss Angela, grows more than ever before. Because as we know, marriage and ministry, it's a mix. And we want to glorify him in that. So he will honor that as you're being glorified. You're glorified. The other thing is, and I know it's in both of you, but when pioneering, when ministry sometimes, we can very, and I've done it, so I'm just telling you, it's very easy to lose sight that your heart does not get broken for what breaks his. And I believe that it's going to grow beyond boundaries where people will see Christ in you even before you open your mouth at times as the Holy Spirit continues to provide. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just so thankful for Pastor Ray and Miss Angela. And Lord, as they are one flesh coming into this to be pioneering your church. Your church. Lord, continue to put guardrails where there needs to be. Give divine grace for discernment, where discernment needs to be, where they need to say yes to things and no to other things, and that you are so clearly, through your Holy Spirit, opening wide doors that need to be open. Lord, continue to love on them greatly. Continue to have their identity formed in your love for them, Lord. Empower them, and where they are knowing that they are seeing through your lens, Christ, the people around them, and it's breaking their hearts because it is breaking yours. We just thank you for the infilling and the power of the Holy Spirit for this church to move in your presence. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And amen. We love you. All right.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you, man.
All right.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, everybody, for walking that out. So, like I said, this is not a goodbye service. As I'm wiping some tears, it's not a goodbye service. All right, we'll be talking more, hearing more. Certainly when we get closer to the end of this year, we'll be keeping you informed and even having them probably come back and talking. So they are with us, but continue to keep them in your prayers. The church in them. We've got to be, you've got to be, it's hard, you know, but we've got to remember that this is his church. You look at FCC, it's been here 40 some odd years, right? How many pastors have come through here, but the church is still here? We're just vessels, it's his church, so. All right, now did we all tuned up to sing this song to Pastor Ray and Ray? No, okay. All right, we love you all. That's all right, I got it. It's not working today well anyway. So. All right, thank you, everybody. Miss Jen, we love you. Thank you for coming out. Exit stage left, right? Praise God. Praise God, whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, creatures here below. Praise Heavenly Host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. We are next week going to start reciting the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer together. So we'll start that next week. I think that's just very good, as we said, at least once a month to verbalize and make statements as a body of Christ together and what we believe and why we believe that. So, but thank you. All right. See if we can get a message out. Everybody knows what expressions are, right? Expressions. It would probably be truthful to say that expressions and experiences in many cases go hand in hand, right? Because if I am experience an individual, I'll probably begin to experience their expressions at some point, right? And vice versa. We have expressions. I mean, we've been designed as humans to have expressions. Some good, and some not so good, right? There's three main elements of expressions. There's words. So I could say, John, I love you. I'm expressing that. But then I could also say, John, I'm disappointed in you. I'm not. But so expressions, good and bad, they travel in words. That's our anchor in most expressions. We live in a society that we certainly know that, good and bad expressions of words. The other thing, expressions also travel to connect in body language, right? If I'm doing this all the time when you're talking to me, what do you think I'm doing? I'm probably very defensive. My expression is I'm like standing back. I'm not very welcoming and inviting. Just go on with me, all right? But if I'm in this position, like in worship, what's that? That's an expression of surrender. Totally different, two different expressions, but same through a body language of something, correct? We have our facial expressions. When we were kids, our mom or dads gave us the look when we did something wrong, right? And then spouses, you thought you were done with that until you got married, right? She gave me the look. Those are expressions. They connect us, expressions, and they cause an experience when we're doing expressions. It's so important. Webster's dictionary says, expressions is the process of making known one's thoughts, feelings, that can also reveal over time one's nature. If you hang around with somebody long enough and experience them and the expression of them, you get to know their deep core nature at some point. What makes them tick? What are they thinking? And that's important. And we have that commerce daily with people, whether at work, in our family, whatever. But do you know God has an expression too? God of the universe expresses himself to humanity. And in that expression, we can experience God in certain ways. So in the beginning, as far as we know, in the beginning of Genesis, at least it's saying God desired to have relationship with humanity, paraphrasing a little bit. So what's his expression? If he desires to have expressions with humanity, he opened his mouth and said, let there be. Let there be an earth, let there be you and me, let there be everything else we've been living in. Now words were carriers of his expression towards us. Never forget, because you have the image of God in you, how powerful your words are when you express as well too. They not be able to form an earth, we're not God, but they may be able to change courses of things by the way you say life and death and the power of your tongue. So words are very key. So but God created everything. He expressed it through his words to create that, to connect with us. He made Adam and Eve to connect with himself, put the image of himself in them. He expressed himself by the beauty he put around them in the Garden of Eden. He didn't put them on an iceberg in the middle of nowhere. He says, I want to connect with these people. I value humanity. I want to have a relationship with humanity. So I'm putting them in a beautiful Garden of Eden. My expression of beauty all the way around. Of beauty all the way around. As we know, Adam and Eve didn't, you know, they experienced God and the expression, but they didn't obey. But God still desired us so much that he didn't give up on us by any means. We see later in the Bible, this whole book is full of God's expressions. We see later you have Noah, and God is at a point like, hey, the earth is just all corrupt. I mean, angels, beings, humans, everything's going on. It is a mess. It is a Jerry Springer show times 100, right? So anybody remember Jerry Springer? It's a joke, guys. He says, it's a mess. The whole earth's a mess. But I just found one guy who will probably be faithful and hear my voice and build a boat before I flood everybody out. And he's a righteous man because I want to keep humanity. Imagine if he said that. We're all done. I'll start from scratch. I'll rebuild an earth. He didn't do that. So he knew his value of his expression to keep humanity going. And it was found in Noah when he did that. It was found in Moses and Abraham. You'll learn God's expression certainly with the Israelites from Genesis on. There's some good days he has with them, and then there's some bad days, and he shows some expressions. At one point, it was Moses or Abraham held God off from frying the whole people of the Israelites at one point because he was mad at them because of disappointment and not obeying. So God has these expressions of good and bad in him too, that are kind of in us, except as we learned last week, thank you, Jonathan, about righteous anger and things like that. But his expressions have been throughout this whole book. And then we get to a New Testament, and then his expressions get amplified. Our anchor scripture, which we're going to do our best, because this is really maybe two-part, but I don't think we'll make it two parts. But the answer... The anchor text that we're going to talk about is in John 1. Many of us know the Apostle John. He was called the Beloved by Jesus. He was just so intimate with Jesus, a little bit more than the other disciples. Jesus loved all the disciples, but he was a little bit more intimate. So his writing in the book of John shows a different perspective than some other of the Gospels. They're all wonderful, but this gets down to some more deeper things. And what we're about to talk about, we talk about Jesus a lot. We talk about who he is, what he's done. But we don't sometimes talk enough about how he's done what he's done. It's a whole circle of an encompassment. So let's just read John 1, because we're about to talk about God's expressions. We just mentioned human expressions come by words, body language, and facial expression. Those are the three main anchors. Well, God has... He's showing three expressions in John 1. And we're going to discover that. So let's read John 1. I think I'm going to move because we're going to do a lot of scripture. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God. It's not too revelational because he has to speak. He needs words, right? For our humanity to receive it. But it gets deep. And then the Word was God. John, I'm picking on you today. When you speak, your words are yours. Right? And your words are you. Vice versa. Keep going. John 1, 2. He existed in the beginning with God. Whoa, we're going to talk about that in a minute. Why is it a he? Keep going. God created everything through him. What? The words. Back to the word. And nothing was created except through him, the word. Keep going. The word had an effect, like your words can have an effect on your life. The Word gave life to everything that was created. And his life brought light to everyone. So wait a minute. The Word is God. God is the Word. And when it was spoken, everything that was created was through his words. But then it turned into a light. And his life brought light, the effect, to everyone. One more verse. The light, so now we're in the light, shines in the darkness. We need to be mindful of this. And the darkness can never extinguish it. Never. Don't use the word a lot, never. I've learned to not say never a lot because then God usually says, oh yeah, but wait, I'm God, I'll do what I want. Never. He can use it. This is about to tilt a little bit, some of you, and it did me. Because if we can, and again, we've got a short period of time, if we digest this and the Holy Spirit breathes it into us, what we're about to talk about, what we are beginning to talk about, it will revolutionize It will. Your Christian walk. God is not complicated. He's simple. We complicate things. So let's go further. Let's go into the next verse. John chapter 1, I think 6, right? Chapter 1, 6. Can we put that up on there? John chapter 1, verse 6, right? No? Because the whole chapter was there. There we go. Okay. So now this is coming into our world now. He just created it, but now something's coming into our world. God, no, okay. Yes, we'll continue. God sent a man, John the Baptist. Let's keep going. So now we're fast forwarding to the New Testament to tell about this same light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. Word, God's word, light to break through the darkness. And then we're going to see another step now. Tell about the light so everyone might believe because of his testimony. Keep going. John himself was not the light. We know John the Baptist. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. Pause right there. John the Baptist was, as we know, if we know the Christmas story, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were old. God was so awesome. He wanted the right person to announce the right light at the right time. And it wasn't a Holy Spirit conception like Jesus, but he certainly can make a time of a birth because he's God. So he wanted a certain person to announce to the world the expression of God coming into the humanity. So he said, John himself is not the light. He was simply a witness to tell him right. He was the right person to do this. Let's keep going. Verse 9, the one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Keep coming. He came into the very world. Whoa, wait a minute. What? That the very world he created. This is going to start tilting, but it's so true. And it'll set some people free. But the world didn't recognize him. We know that. Keep going. He came to his own people. And even they rejected him. The light. Keep going. But to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. These breadcrumb trails are leading somewhere, we know. Keep going. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. God's expression was beginning to make opportunities into humanity to reconcile back to him at this point. Keep going. So the world, okay, oh boy. So the Word became human. Hold on. The Word became human and made his home amongst us? I think the Message translation says he moved into the neighborhood. The Word became human and moved his home into his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. One and only Son. God's expression started by his word that transformed into light, then now became flesh to a dying world that God wanted back. If we can get this, this can do some amazing things. God used his word that was always with him. When he talked and spoke, it was light in the darkness to form things. And then in the forming of things, it became a human being at the end of the day. Do we know the Trinity? You've got, here's an elevator pitch Trinity illustration. You've got God the Father, right? God the Father. We should honor him. We should fear him. We should worship him. We should be so thankful that we have air in our lungs today from him. But then we have the Word that became flesh, Jesus. Because he was like, I'm going to show my expression in Jesus. So we should worship the Jesus. We should expect him to come back as the new King of Kings, Jesus. We should be ready. We should, everything comes through Jesus. Then we have the Holy Spirit, because Jesus left and he's up in heaven. I know we're doing a lot of information here. He's up in heaven interceding for us at the right hand of the Father, but he left us with the Holy Spirit, which is Jesus' ambassador right here and now in the physical realm. So we can communicate with Jesus, which will communicate to God. But some of us go like this. Hey, nice to know you. I'll talk to you on Christmas. God, where are you? Well, Jesus is right here. He's the full expression to humanity. That's it. He is the full expression to humanity. This will sink in. He's the full expression. God's like, I've done everything I'm doing. I gave you Jesus, my full expression. Jesus is the Word. That's what John's saying. I'm not making this up. Jesus is part of the light. In Scripture, Jesus and other apostles said, you are the light of the world. And Jesus is the flesh. He's the human divine incarnation of the flesh. Here's, if you get nothing, this is it. Because I know I'm throwing a lot out there. You may not invite me back next week. What is this? But isn't Jesus the Word? So, okay. Because we come to church in Western churches. I got to come to hear the Word. And that's not wrong. I know what you mean. But truth is beyond 66 books in here of Almighty God. This is His breath. But what gives life to His breath is Jesus, because this needs to point to Jesus when you read it. This is what distinguishes religion-ish people that may know back and forth every scripture of the Bible, but there's no power that's coming out of it because it's not pointing to Jesus. If memorizing this book and being a great gunslinger when I need to bring it out, okay? I'm not having fun, but we're putting too much. It's Jesus. This is Jesus. But if I'm pulling it out and doing these things and I'm finding no power to change things, then this is just a book in my life of good things. That's all it is. If this, just to prove my point, the Pharisees knew their scripture. And they couldn't even see the Word in front of them at their doorstep, Jesus. There was no spiritual size of that. It's just on what they were memorizing, they were doing. And there's many churches that are focused so much on this, and we need it. It is part of our digestive system. Please, I'm not saying don't read your Bible. But if you don't invite the Holy Spirit in when you digest this, it's just a book of good things and that's it. And you're mad at God because where is He? He's Jesus. The Word is Jesus. So every full experience with God has to involve the Holy Spirit and Jesus. So we cry out to God so much and we're like, Jesus did all this for what you're having trouble with. I mean, Jesus is the power, is Jesus. He's your reward. He's your answers. He's who suffered for you. Oh, we go on that one. But does that make sense? I'm not. It has to lead to Jesus. It has to. I don't know where these notes are. And, oh, the enemy loves churches that don't see the full expression of God because there's no power in all of that. And we just have church and we don't be the church sometimes. All right, let's talk about the incarnated Jesus. Getting back to, we had Word, we had light, and the flesh. So we're on the flesh right now. Jesus is here. Let's look at some scriptures. Hebrews 4:14. I'm going to read them a little quick because we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, because we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Jesus had he was a human, a divine human. So when people argue that, well, he was in a stained glass window all his life. No, he was a human. He got tempted like us. The only difference is he has the Spirit of God in us because he was part of the full expression of God in him. The Word. 1 John 4:2-3, verse 32. This is how we know. This is key in these end days. This is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. Not that they've memorized scriptures. The Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. Because he's experiencing the full expression of God. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has a spirit, he ain't done yet, a spirit of Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world and indeed is already here in many people. Colossians 1, 15 through 16, the incarnation of Christ we're talking about. Christ, this is so beautiful because Paul pens this just like John was penning in a sense in chapter 1. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. We can't see God's face. Moses tried. So how is he expressing himself? Through Jesus. Christ is the invisible image of the invisible God. He exists before anything was, this sounds familiar, anything was created, and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities, in the unseen world. Everything was created through him. Through him. For him. Sorry, yes. It's my translation. God's expression in word became flesh. I'm hitting it again because these are things that it takes time to kind of sink in. God's expression in word became flesh. Jesus, as a result, Jesus expressions God through teaching. So now you're seeing word, light, flesh. Now this flesh has to do something, right? Jesus has to, in flesh, he has to do something. He was a word, he's light, he's now flesh. So now he's going to go about teaching, right? Teaching his own ideas and the best podcast he heard last week? No, teaching only what his Father, because he is God and the Father of Word expressed. I can't say anything outside of the Word because I am part of the Word. Sorry, I'm getting a little hyper in this, but this is revolutionary. This is, I mean, you start thinking you can't do anything without Jesus. Let's talk about it. So he went teaching, John 17. This is where he proves this. John 7:16. So Jesus told them to the disciples, my message is not my own. It comes from God who sent me. So he began to teach. The effect of the expression of God is now at people's houses, on sides of shorelines, in little synagogues, teaching. God's expression is now living in the flesh, telling them, you know what, it's better give than to receive. You know, it's better to forgive than hold on to things. Jesus put a few guys up on a mountain, did the Mount of Olives, like, blessed is if you mourn, you will be comforted. Blessed are, we talked about this earlier, the peacemakers, because you will be called a child of God. So he's teaching these things. The expression of God is coming down. And it's affecting people's lives, because then he begins to heal people. Laying hands on the sick, and they are recovering. I'm going to speed this up a little. Laying hands on the sick, they're recovering. His friend was dead, now he's alive, Lazarus. He's spitting on eyes, and they're being seen, they're being transformed. God's expression is impacting lives, like it should be doing today, through the teaching and through the healing. It may not be a physical healing, but it may be a mental healing, might be a soulful healing. It could be anything. Breaking chains off addictions, it could be anything. The power of Jesus expressing God's will into a world around him. Teaching, healing. I'll move around here. Here's one thing that has to do with a little bit of presence and experience and expression. Mark 5, 25, 34. It says, and we know this scene, but we want to breathe it out. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she has spent everything she had to pay them, but she had not gotten any better. She had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus. So she came up behind him through a crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Many things that are going on there. Obviously, your faith is your response. What's your response when Jesus is coming by? It was to go in, not to withdraw. I'm going to go towards them. But even better, this is about expression and experience with God. Proximity has a lot to do with how well you're seeing and hearing God. Distance creates distortion. We know that in our own human life, even with relatives, right? We haven't talked to them in a while. We start building in our minds, they don't like me, blah, 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 you know, all that stuff. So distance is not a good thing with God. You want proximity with God. You want proximity with Jesus, as who is the Word in the flesh, because then that's when you will experience it. Sounds like a no-brainer, right? But sometimes you have to press to experience it. You have to do something. You can't just have things fall. So she knew proximity was everything to get the full benefit of the expression of God through her healing. Have you benefited from something you're hoping for? My question would be, in a loving way, how close are you to Jesus? How close? Lastly, what sustains God's attention towards us with his expression and wanting to have that experience with us? What? Like we said earlier, we straight out of Eden, we didn't do a good thing. Yet he still wants us, desires us. What keeps his sustainability towards us? Because that expression is still alive and well, Jesus, and expressing us through the Holy Spirit in each and every one of us. But what sustains us? He's not complicated. It's his divine love for you. And that's it. Don't complicate it beyond that. It's the divine love that says in John 3:16 that I've loved the world so very much that I'm going to give my expression into a son that's going to die on a cross for you and I. His love, it creates an identity in you and I where we can experience more of Jesus, the expression of Jesus, being in his presence more. It's so important. So it's his love. So we learned today, as I compact this right now, we've learned today that the Word is Jesus. Because God had to express himself to humanity, and he used words, and that is Jesus. And the Trinity's been along more than we've been around, right? So that turned into light to start changing things around, to form a world and people and all that. Then that became flesh and the teachings and the healings of Jesus. Jesus died mainly because people thought he wasn't who he says he was. It wasn't the miracles. They saw it happen. It's like, no, you're claiming to be God's word. You can't be. You, a Jew from Bethlehem, I mean, you can't be. That was really what brought him to a cross from the exterior nature of things. So I want to encourage you to read. So I've got some homework. So we've got, you're going to pray during this week on what to fast the following week, right? If you do that so nicely, corporately. And then the second thing was read the whole book of John, the chapter of John, because that's what this is coming out of. I don't have time to go through the whole thing right now. But read the whole book of John, because it's, I'll just give you a little bit of an overview. We read the first 7 or 8 verses, but, you know, in the beginning was the Word was God, and then that starts, and then the expressions start, light to transform the dark, and then Jesus teaching and healing. But here's a neat thing, the way John breathes this out in chapter 1, if you read that. So then, what is the thing that John the Baptist announced? He says the light of the world's come, but then he has a specific title for that light, a.k.a. Jesus. See, if we can believe to experience God's expressions at deeper levels, in his word, what he says to us, in the light that it will transform things around us, because he is predominantly, he created everything. And I know Pastor John used to say this, there's no dark switch. You don't turn off and on a dark switch. Light just overtakes it. But when we start knowing God more in his heart and his expression, his words and the light and the flesh of Jesus, we begin to see the first announcement of Jesus, which what John the Baptist says, yes, you are the light of the world, but this says you are the Lamb of God. Not just something to sit in a pasture. You are the Lamb of God that's going to take away the sins of the world. When we begin to see the full expression of God, we see that Lamb, and we can get down on our knees and say, Jesus! Jesus! Because the Lamb of God shows me that He's a sacrificial, loving servant Messiah, loving servant Savior, and loving servant soon coming King. And we can actually worship. And that is the beauty of Jesus. We've talked about that a little bit. When you begin to see the full beauty of Jesus, and it can happen at different levels from different people, you've heard His word, you've seen it transform things in your life. Because there's power in that if it leads to Jesus. And now you're seeing the person of Jesus, the Lamb of God. Then you can actually answer the question that comes next in that few verses. Then it speeds up where Jesus is trying to find His first disciples. He says, will you come follow me? If we've experienced all this, the answer should be yes. Unfortunately, we've had too much church that says, follow Him! But you haven't experienced anything in any expression of Him. So it's just a commitment for a day and that's about it. But you're going to follow, you're going to see the beauty of Jesus that goes on and on in your relationship daily. Because God has an expression and it's fully expressed in Jesus. That's why when you talk to people, hey, you know God loves you? Yeah, I know. Hey, you know Jesus loves you? Whoa, hey, wait a minute. Because there's some convicting things in that. In love, why do you think the enemy has made Hollywood take the name of Jesus in vain so long? Because there's power in it, and if I can revert it, because he only perverts things, the enemy, then I'll serve it on a platter back to them and say it's a damning thing when you say it. And yet we're supposed to speak life with that. We've been given the name of Jesus, the full expression of the word, Jesus. Please stand. Does any of this make sense? We compacted this down quick. Sorry. Jesus, you are that full expression. That full expression of God. The full expression of God. God, please forgive us. If we've continued to knock on your door when Jesus was sitting right in front of us. God, forgive us if we have forgotten to invite the Holy Spirit every day into our lives. God, forgive us that we have not seen your full expression because we haven't been close enough to you to see that you are Jesus, the Word made flesh, and you are the answer. Forgive us, please. Let us begin to see that beauty of Jesus more and more. The Lamb of God. In Revelations, they point to you to say, you're the only one that can open the scrolls. The Lamb of God who is worthy because He's loved you and I so very much and went to the cross for you and I. Jesus, let us never forget that and use that word harshly, never. Thank you for loving us. Let our prayer time, let our worship time, let our digesting of the Bible be more greater because we're beginning to see you, God, in your expression towards us. And it leads to you, Jesus. You, where there's power. Power that light breaks through the darkness in any situation that the enemy tries to leverage in our lives. The power of God is through Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.